dishing.
Yes.
What are we dishing today?
Well, Gary, Liam Neeson fell in love, but she was taken. Oh, no. I hate when that happens.
Plus, we put celebs' real age to the test with the game, all right? Chewy and Brad are out, but Tanner Thomason's back in the house. What's going on, homie?
Not much, HK. Thank you so much. I hear you're going to start it off for us today, though.
Yeah, man. Well, it's safe to say that Drake is a real high roller. Now, reportedly, he's spending big bucks in virtual gambling. And to prove it, he recently posted a series of clips and photos to IG of him winning anywhere from $354,000 up to $7 million on a single roulette wheel spin.
Whoa.
Now, supposedly, Drake plays through online gambling companies' stakes, and his Deep Pockets account has wagered over $1 billion since joining the website last year.
Dang.
Yo, this dude enjoys virtual gambling so much that he bought the roulette table with him courtside to spin the wheel, even while simultaneously watching the Toronto Raptors games. This dude might have a problem.
Can y'all correct me on something? Yes, winning $7 million is a lot, but if you spent over $1 billion, then doesn't that mean, like, your ratio of win to losses is really bad, that this is a bad thing?
Yeah, it's like $1,000 to $7.
Yeah.
Yeah, so $7 million ain't nothing because he done lost
$1 billion. Thank you. That's what people don't realize, they gamble. Well, I won $1,000. Well, good, but you lost $3,000 yesterday to get to the $1,000.
Right. So this is not smart.
But, Gary, I know you like to take risks, you know, especially, like, judging by, like, you know, some of the fashion sometimes. Would you like to place a bet right now? Like, you know, because I'm talking to my bookie on the line.
Yeah.
Like, how much would you like to bet, like, let's just say, like, on horse races this week?
$5.
$5?
Yeah.
Oh, baby, I don't gamble like that.
Yeah,
Gary, I'm like you.
They're saying it's too little.
Like, I go to Vegas, and I put $100 is all I will spend in Vegas because like that feeling starts going in me, like that tingly feeling. And then when I run out of money, I start looking at old men next to me, like, and smiling. Mm-hmm. Like, would you give me? I'll give you if you give me, you know. Yeah, and then I'm going to be a hoe. So it's like, I got
to step back. You can feed Africa with that $20, honey. So.
I've seen those commercials. All right, guys, moving on. Looks like Liam Neeson fell in love with a taken woman. See what we did there?
Yes.
Taken.
That's I thought you were going to say with a stripper.
Well, maybe. Yeah. In an interview, he revealed that he fell for an Australian woman while filming on location. Take a look.
I made a couple of pals and fell in love once there, but she was taken.
Okay, he didn't disclose whether the unnamed woman was a co-star on set or just a random Australian lady. He's pretty secretive. Do you think this is like a call out to the lady? Do you think this is a little secret message?
I mean, like, you know, he is very private and still single because he lost his wife a few years ago. So he's trying to put himself out there. So maybe even if he made this story up, maybe this is like a ploy to get more people to like hit him up via like, you know, social media or like fan letters. I don't know where he interacts with people, but it's a start.
But if a woman is taken, he needs to let her be taken. And you just need to go on.
He specializes in getting people that have been taken.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm sure that like on that second date, he looked her right in the eyes and he says, you know, I have a particular set of skills. Well, there's nothing worse than like meeting somebody and having like that chemistry. They're like, oh, maybe this could be a thing. Then eventually they're like, oh, hold on, that's my boyfriend calling me. And I'm always like,
let me tell you,
let me get out of this Starbucks.
This is why I don't like it when men don't wear wedding rings, because you don't know. And you know, that's the first thing I look for. I look for the tan mark. And I'm telling you, the moment I find out they are married or taken, because I think I'm going to go to hell. I don't want to mess around with nobody's person.
Sherry, I got major issues because of all the women on Instagram who never post photos of their boyfriends, even though they all got boyfriends. Like, let me see your invisible boyfriend. You're not single. Yeah. Stop acting like you're single.
I just usually assume it's the boyfriend that took the picture, you know?
It's always the boyfriend who took the photo.
Okay, y'all, it's time to have a little fun and play a quick game of same age, same age.
Oh.
So, here's how the game is going to go. I'm going to mention a celebrity and give you a clue that will have a couple of fun facts about another celebrity who is the same age. Mm-hmm. Now, your job is to guess who the other celebrity is. Got it?
All right.
No multiple choice. Mm-hmm. So, this game is really going to test your knowledge of celebrities.
Each answer
is worth 1 point. The first person to correctly say the answer gets the point. All right. Are you guys ready?
Yeah. Ready. Yeah. Same age. All right.
Same age. First clue. They warded off evil with large hairy feet in a high fantasy trilogy that earned more than $897 million worldwide. And is the same age, 41, as Kim Kardashian.
Elijah Wood.
I knew it was...
Headcrack. Damn, headcrack right, so fast. Elijah Wood. Wow, I didn't even get my second clue.
I was out here like Frodo.
All right, so now moving on to the second clue. This celebrity said hello to a rich life this year and is the same age, 33, as High School Musical star Vanessa Hudgens.
Adele. It's got to be Adele.
Yeah, Adele.
I always thought Adele was like older than Vanessa Hudgens. I'm just going to say that maybe that was a mistake.
Probably you know what, because so of the type of music she makes. She does make some grown-ass music. You know, her age matches the music I expect Susan Boyle to make. You know, because it's just his style, but yeah.
Absolutely. It's not that Adele looks like she's in her 40s.
No. Yeah.
It's just she sings grown stuff like she's like 40s. Yeah. Wow. Okay. Well, I'm going to tell you the competition is heating up because it is a tie between HK and Tanner, 1-1. So here's the next one. He held his head at the Met Gala and decided to become a Hollywood jokester and is the same age, 50, as Hollywood's favorite Uncle Snoop, D-O-double-G.
Who is Liam Neeson?
I don't know, Gary.
No. What was his head?
Because he's a jokester.
And he's a jokester.
He's a jokester.
It's not a Joaquin Phoenix.
No, not Joaquin Phoenix. No, HK, you got any guesses?
Man, 50, a Hollywood jokester. Jared Leto?
What? Wow. Yes, Jared Leto.
Jared Leto was 50 years old?
No.
Yes.
I'm blown away.
Okay, y'all. HK 2, the Tanners 1. Mm. The next one, come on, Gary.
I'm working.
Okay. All right, well, you got to work harder, baby. Next one. In 2020, this celebrity decided green wasn't their color or last name anymore
and transformed into
a new relationship, and they are the same age, 35, as the Olsen twins.
Autobots roll out. This has got to be Megan Fox.
Right.
Yeah,
all right, Megan you Fox. Got it. Megan Fox is 35. I can believe that because she got nine kids.
She's got a bunch of kids. But also, you never see photos of the Olsen twins, so I still think of them as like early 20s. Late teens.
Now, I really thought they was like 50.
Olsen twins still got that money. You know what I'm saying?
You know, and they got so much money, they just hunched over. It's like the weight.
No, like really rich people posture who like, started smoking at 7.
The weight of their bank accounts keeps them hunched
really
over.
Rich posture. That's what it's called. Okay, this is a tie. It's Tanner 2, Headcrack 2. Right. Gary, there's no way in the world you're going to win. But still put your thinking cap on.
All right.
Here is the last clue. Gary, your cousin Prince William is the same age, 39, as the rapper who has a British alter ego named Roman. If you get this answer right, 2 points will be added onto your final score. So, Gary, you could actually get it and tie.
Nicki Minaj.
Nicki Minaj.
Because you don't listen to rap, Gary. Like, that's why. Like, she had a song called Roman's Revenge whenever she do the British accent.
See, that's why I didn't know, because I don't listen to rap. I only listen to Miss Ross, so I didn't know all this stuff.
Well, Gary, we're sorry. Yeah, but sorry, the winner is Headcrack with 4 points. Congratulations, HK.
Yeah.
You know, I'm out here in these, celebrity streets, man. I be knowing the answers and stuff.
Yeah.
I like this game.
Yeah.
But anyway,
this is
honey.
A good one. This is a good one.
I know this answer, honey. Coming up, baby, Mama Mia, Tina Lawson, honey, is not playing about her son-in-law, Jay-Z. We'll get into that after the break.
Dish Nation. Dish Nation.
All right, y'all, so we know that Tina Knowles Lawson is a fierce mama bear when it comes to defending her daughters, Beyonce and Solange. Mm-hmm. But that also extends to her son-in-law, Jay-Z. Now, in her docuseries, Profile, The Black Man, Tina said, I can remember getting on a plane and an older white woman saying, oh, your son is a gangster rapper, right? How did you let him marry your daughter? I said, no, actually my son is a CEO. See, she didn't even think of him as a CEO or even a talented celebrity. I remember thinking, I can't be mad at her because that is what the media portrays. Mm. So everybody, are y'all surprised that Miss Tina did not get mad?
I'm not surprised because she seems to have a very level head, and sometimes you gotta just like chalk up to the fact that some people are ignorant and only see the things that media portrays people as. Because you even see it happen to Chris Brown. Whenever he gets in trouble, they're like, rapper Chris Brown. It's like, no, he's an R&B guy.
Yeah. Well, same
now,
difference.
HK, can you explain this to me a little bit? I'm a little out there. Yeah. I thought that people did call it gangster rap.
Like Jay-Z's not a gangster rapper. Like, I mean, like,
okay.
Jay-Z changed out of that a long time ago. The man is a media mogul.
That woman probably was afraid, so she just approached Tina and talked about it and stuff. So,
is that your white woman coming out,
yeah,
Gary?
Yeah, you're a white woman.
I'm trying to pull back.
Okay, we'll switch gears. Now, we all love Rihanna and Eminem as duet partners, but did you know they almost made a movie together?
Oh,
no.
Really?
Yep, well, according to this new book, Blood, Sweat, and Chrome, the two musicians almost starred Mad Max Fury Road. Now, the role of Max was played by Tom Hardy in the movie, but it almost went to Eminem. And Rihanna was considered for one of the five wives who escapes with Charlize Theron's character, Furiosa. So it would have been interesting to see them two share the scene together. But apparently Eminem lost interest when he found out that they were shooting in Australia, and it was a no-go for him from that point on.
I don't know. I think this would have been a bad idea. He was great in 8 Mile. Rihanna was. I don't know if y'all saw Battleship.
We
but
did.
She
we
was.
Did.
Yeah, she wasn't the only thing that sunk that battleship. What? But, like, I think it would be distracting to have both of them in the same movie.
Yeah, like, I've seen her in a movie with Childish Gambino. I think it was called Guava Island. Like, she's gotten better as an actress, and I'm one of the small percentage of people who hated Mad Max Fury Road, and I would have preferred to see anybody else in it. And I love Tom Hardy.
Oh, man.
I love Tom Hardy. But for whatever reason, I didn't like that movie, and I think Eminem would have gave it the edge that it would maybe be more interested.
Gary, have you seen Mad Max Fury Road?
I ain't seen
Battleship.
None of them movies. I ain't got time for that. I like movies like Golden Pond and stuff like that. I don't have time to be watching.
So you haven't seen a movie since 1982?
Well, I've seen them, but I don't watch Mad
You're
Max.
You're way too young to remember on Golden Pond.
Oh, yeah. I love Henry Fonda Sherry. Oh, my God.
Okay, you guys, get ready. It is time for a Dish Debate. Okay, buckle up. This one comes courtesy of the website, thetakeout.com. Here's the question. If you're on a date in a restaurant and you're seated at a booth, should you sit beside your date, like Sherry and I are right now, or across from them? What do y'all think?
Across.
If I'm going on one of my like Bumble dates, mm-hmm. I sit across mm-hmm. from them because sitting next to them is very intimate. But mm-hmm. if I'm like in a relationship, I'm sitting right next to you because yeah. I gotta grab and reach.
You shouldn't sit next to them if you're intimate. That is the stupidest, childish looking thing to me. When I see people at the damn restaurant sitting close together, y'all don't like each other that much. So stop acting.
You would
like,
be surprised how much across. People like each other, Gary. Like people be in love and stuff.
True.
How in the hell yes. you gonna eat your food and you sit next to each other? Like I just don't like that. Yeah,
I like to sit right next to you because I want you to see when I'm putting that thing in my mouth because I'm looking cute. You see it better from the side. You got a good side profile.
The only time I like the side-by-side is if you're going, like, on a double date with, like, another couple. So, like, then you got Shorty sitting next to you, and you're talking across to, the, like, the person that you match with in the other crew.
Absolutely. That's
okay,
the only way
I can tell HK got kids. And Gary is projecting.
Ooh.
HK talking like a person been married a long time.
Side by side like we just met. No.
All right. One Hollywood star has an unconventional key to a lasting marriage. We'll tell you who it is and what she does after the break.
Dish Nation. Dish Nation.
The Goldbergs actress Wendy McClendon Covey has been married to her husband Greg Covey for 25 years.
Oh.
And she's sharing what, yes, Gary, and she is sharing what she believes to be the key to a lasting marriage. Okay, are y'all ready for this?
Come
with.
Yes.
While on Live with Kelly and Ryan, Wendy said, listen, I've been married 25 years, and here we are 25 years later, not celebrating Valentine's Day, which is the key to a lasting marriage. Wow. And then Wendy also said on Valentine's Day, she indulges in self-care and her husband Greg can do whatever he wants.
That makes sense. Because y'all women want all this doggone, oh, bring me some flowers, oh, bring me some candle. Indulge in your damn self. Treat yourself, honey. Do what you want to do for yourself. And the hell with it, somebody give you some candy and flowers that's going to die tomorrow and the candy going to make you gain weight, honey, overnight. So, no, I agree with Wendy.
Yeah, I feel like you got to do what works for your relationship.
Yeah.
And if you've already kind of got those years in of, like, going all out for your significant other on those holidays and you just want to have a stress-free Valentine's Day, day and it works for your relationship, go for it.
Quick shout out to Wendy and Greg for being married 25 years in Hollywood. Yeah. Like, that's an accomplishment, so shout out to them.
That's 170 in dog years.
Let me tell you. The other thing, too, though, is I feel like some things can get to be too performative or too showy, where it's like, instead of like a heartfelt connection, and I feel like Valentine's does get to be that kind of like flowers and chocolates, kind of like what Gary was talking about, as opposed to like, you know, you're special to me and here's why.
Kind of like a magician doing a stunt. You do an amazing stunt. Then a year later, you got to do a stunt that was bigger than the stunt that you did last time. And after a while, you just kind of hit the ceiling and there's nothing left to do except nothing.
Because, Sherry, I don't feel bad. I was by myself. I went to Grand Lux to hand me some caramel chicken and rice and just sat there by myself.
And you probably slept like a baby, didn't you?
I did, so.
Well, guys, although we're still in a global pandemic, nothing beats the agony of the first few weeks of the COVID lockdown in 2020. I am sure everybody remembers that. Yeah. Well, Ricky Wilson, the lead singer of indie rock band Kaiser Chiefs, is opening up about what got him and who got him through the lockdown, and it's none other than Taylor Swift.
Oh, wow.
T-Swift herself.
Wow.
When asked what song he would choose to play at a party, Ricky replied, "Shake It Off by Taylor Swift got me through lockdown. I probably listen to it 15 times a day." 15 times a day? That's a lot of shaking.
He was
it.
Depressed.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, my gosh.
What song or what activity got you guys through that early part of lockdown?
Oh, my gosh. I started listening to Tina Marie, and I did a lot of push-ups.
Yeah?
I got to, like, I literally did 80 push-ups and spent in 20 minutes.
Damn.
That's what I worked on.
Yo, for me, I spent a lot of time, like, playing VR video games, which is, like, you know, you can kind of drop yourself in any location in the world that you want on certain apps, and the games are pretty fun. And also listen to that We Don't Talk About Bruno song a lot.
Yeah. Mine was a Bruno song, too. I mean, right now, anyway, I mean, in 2020, whenever it happened, it was getting to there. But I love smoking in a window. You know, he got me smoking at the window.
Smoking in the window with the one I love?
Yeah, smoking at the window. What's his name? Pat Sue?
Jesus Christ. You talking about Silk Sonic?
Oh, Silk Sonic, yeah.
He done remixed the song.
Well, up next, honey, find out which talk show host clapped back and fans, honey, for coming for her hair, Sherry. Stay tuned for more Dish Nation.
Dish Nation. Dish Nation.
Welcome back. Now, recently on Live with Kelly and Ryan, Kelly asked Ryan if people weighed in on his hair because viewers email the show, send letters, comment on social media posts, and now approach her in public about her hair. Now, Kelly said not too long ago, someone came up to her at a store and said they liked their hair the length it is now. Now, Ryan teased and asked them to continue doing it, but what do you think about the audience being so involved in, like, the talent's hair and the stuff they got going on?
Sherry, I mean, look, you switch up the wigs every day. Do people, like, slide in your comments and DMs and talk to you about this outside?
I have to say I got the best hairstylist, Queen Wink, and she does my hair. So I never get any bad comments about my hair, only when I wear my real hair.
No.
I don't know. Do y'all get comments about y'all hair? Because HK, you cut your hair.
Yeah, I used to get comments a lot when I, like, you know, had, like, the two braids or, like, the little tie-up thing. But, like, I mean, but clothing-wise, I get a lot of props anytime I rock, like, some polo.
I don't get, I mean, well, people, you know I wear a lot of colors, honey. So I stopped wearing a lot of colors at one point. Then they said, well, you need to wear a lot of colors because that's your thing, wear the colors and stuff. But colors become expensive. And then they cut the budget and stuff here, so I can't really.
You go like earth tones?
Yeah, I got to go earth tones and neutrals now.
Now you got to do earth tones because cut your budget.
Yeah. Now down to earth tones?
They struggling over there, Lord. Thanks for checking out Dish Nation on Audio Boom. Make sure you listen to any episodes you may have missed. They're right down below, or maybe they're over there. Just scroll up. Look, you'll find it. If you like what you heard, share it with your friends. Even share it with your enemies. Either way, share it.